Evan and Tiki on the Fan. Tiki on vacation for most of this week, I believe. Evan will be back tomorrow. Junkin' Irishman did bring up on Twitter, wasn't Evan Roberts just off for 5 weeks in Europe? I think he's really treating his role like he is the new Mike Francesa. So I think that is accurate.
Yeah, he was so, like, in his feels about taking today off.
Yeah,
like
he felt guilty.
He kept trying to justify taking what he calls a random day off. No, it's just a day off. People take days off. You don't even have to call it a random day off. He's like, thankfully I took, this is last night, thankfully I took tomorrow off because I have two kids with me at SummerSlam. You're not in Siberia. You're in New
Jersey. And it's okay to take
days
off.
And it's fine, but he just always feels, and it's something we're going to talk about in a little bit, was his Super Bowl, by the way, that the Giants put out there. That you talk about, yeah. Nobody knows the history of the station more than Evan, and goes down the rabbit holes of clips and old bits like Evan. For that to come out today, for him not to be here, I'm sure he's going to do it tomorrow too, is probably eating at him.
Yeah, and we'll get to what you're teasing, but I did want to bring up Evan. There was a point this morning, I'm not going to lie to you, that I forgot I was kind of in the Evan role. You were in the Tiki role.
Some work
today.
Ethic. You forgot that you're sitting here in the afternoon drive. We're sitting in a studio that was, well, they didn't sit in here, but, well, Mike did, but Dog did, and Craig and Evan and Teak now and everybody, and you forgot?
Because it's a one-off. Evan's in all week, but Evan texted in our group chain. We have, the show group text that goes on, and he texted something about Russell Wilson, which I want to talk about now, but it stuck with me for like a good hour this morning. I was working out, insert joke here, doing this. And then it hit me. I was like, wait a minute, Evan's out today. He had texted like he wanted our thoughts to do that as a topic today.
Yes.
Now I'm going to do it as the topic anyway. Russell Wilson yesterday appeared at SummerSlam at MetLife Stadium, which from all the MetLife Stadium haters, boy, did you have your weekend, because I checked in to see how it looked, and I watched last night's Cena match.
Yeah.
Boy, did MetLife Stadium play even uglier for wrestling on TV.
Yeah, but are you surprised, though? It's just gross looking.
I do think we overrate how bad a misstep MetLife Stadium's in. Like, when I'm in MetLife Stadium, it's fine, but it looks, it just looks ugly. It looked even uglier with a wrestling ring inside of it. But that's neither here nor there. That's not even my main point. My main point is Russell Wilson appears last night.
Shocking.
He's got a Giants wrestling belt. He's leaning into the whole Russell Wilson thing.
Yeah.
And I saw Awful announcing a couple others put the video out. It is not overwhelming at all, but there's some boos for Russell Wilson. It's definitely more boos than any other reaction. It's either a non-reaction or boos is the video. And I think Evan's take was going to be, boy, Giant fans turning on Russell Wilson, they want Dart already. Not my take. Here's the unfortunate truth about an event like SummerSlam over the last few nights.
Yeah, I know where you're going with this.
There are outliers to every fan base. So I'm not telling you this stands for every single person in the fan base. That is your disclaimer.
Okay.
That being said, we all know these people. If you are not somebody that attends wrestling events without children. Now,
hold on a second.
Hold on.
Wait. Before you even say that, because I have to defend my fellow brethren in the wrestling community. The overwhelming majority of people that go to wrestling events don't bring their children. It is very popular in adults, 18 to 49,
well, that's my
and
issue,
even
Tommy.
Older, and you don't necessarily have to have children with you.
Tommy, if you're not bringing your kids, it's not a father-son thing, or a mother-son, mother-daughter, father-son, whatever.
Basically, because I go to wrestling events. Got it.
I believe you hit a point in life, whether it's right out of high school, maybe it's in high school, and we all do, where you start making a decision about Monday Night Raw versus Monday Night Football. Now, people watch Raw on delay now. Things are a little different. And those who prefer the wrestling, I think when it comes to the football world,
those that prefer the wrestling,
somebody that would take hard-earned money and go to SummerSlam without kids last night as a grown adult, generally speaking in this town, are going to be Jet fans, Cowboy fans, or dare I even say maybe some Eagle fans travel up the turnpike. The New York Giants, for all their warts, their fan base is a much more mature and sophisticated fan base overwhelmingly, and they are not the type that is going to go plunk down money and go watch grown men wrestle to a script.
Huh.
So the reason Russell Wilson got booed last night is, no, Evan, it's not because Giants fans were there booing him. It's because, like it or not, and I know there's going to be some Jet fans turned off by this, and it's not a shot at all of you. Generally speaking, less mature adults go to wrestling as adults. Okay, and those less mature individuals generally find themselves as Cowboy and Jet fans.
So you're saying,
so to speak,
the Giant fan that has always been known as, blue collar, Jerseyans, Long Island guys.
Yeah.
Now you have them as high fluting society.
Sure, yes.
Like they're putting their dogs in their purse and they're more likely to be at the U.S. Open tennis than at a wrestling event.
You're thinking of this the
wrong
way.
Well, that's the way I took it. And by the way,
they got better things to do on a Saturday and Sunday in the summertime than be at SummerSlam, where the Jet fan is basically funneling beers in the parking lot, still searching for for a significant other and hanging out with their bros until they're 45 years old, bringing, you know, Michael Clemens shows up with the baseball bat, with, you know, the Jets are synonymous with wrestling.
They're not
going to
find their significant other in the parking lot of a wrestling event, I would probably venture that guess. Nice try. I think that I know what you're doing, and I feel like the better take and the more, you know, sane take and the more mature take is that when WWE puts on a WrestleMania, or in this case a SummerSlam, it does attract a lot of people that aren't living in that state. It's a destination. So to your point, although I'll say it a lot nicer, you probably did have a lot of Philly fans there. There's Cowboy fans everywhere. Jet fans, of course, and they don't, why would they like Russell Wilson, et cetera, et cetera. I would guess it's not like he was at the Garden and got booed, even though that could be touristy too. I would guess the majority of the fans that booed Russell Wilson were non-Giant fans, because I don't understand why a Giant fan
Giant
would
fans
boo.
Wouldn't boo.
They wouldn't boo him. But this idea
they
that
might
a
boo him
Giant
in a month. They boo him now.
Right. And this idea that a Giant fan is somehow above going to a wrestling
Most
event.
Are.
And you look down at wrestling like it's, and I understand, oh, it's the guys that live with their parents and they have, you know, neck beards and they live, you know, in their mom's basement and they watch Murder, She Wrote, and there's plastic on the couch. I understand that's the... Oh, and by the way, when you look at the wrestling fans here, it's hard to argue it outside of me.
Yeah.
But, so I get where you're coming from, but I think that's a little bit of a low blow. I know we're talking wrestling, but I think that was a little bit of a low blow. And
low
a shot
blow.
At the Jet fan. And I thought you had... I don't want to use the wrong word
It's not a shot
again,
at Jet fans.
I thought you rehabbed your relationship with Jet fans.
I know.
You just basically said that none of them are married, and they're looking for chicks in a parking lot that's at an event with 95% males at it.
You missed the disclaimer. I said there are outliers in every fan base, and right. There's plenty of Jet fans right now listening to me going, he's absolutely correct. Unfortunately, a lot of adults that go to these big wrestling events without kids, some would say they're not normal human beings.
I do that, though. I do that.
Point proven?
What part of me, I am the epitome, that's probably the right word, of normal. I don't have children, all right? I'll be 40 in a couple weeks. Please send me money.
40 without kids, okay. Yep, go on.
Yeah. And I love wrestling, and I've always loved wrestling.
Are you having a 41st birthday party without your wife taking friends to Nashville this weekend?
No, because I'm turning 40, dummy.
So you turn 40, okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
So all right, are you asking me, am I going on a bro trip?
Yeah.
None yet. None of your business. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
I do what I do. You do what you do. You don't have to worry about what I'm doing. That's number one. Number two, I go to wrestling events and I don't find in any way it to be embarrassing. And I don't think that just because you're a Jet fan, what fan bases did you insult here? Jet fans?
Cowboys for sure.
Well, I'm not going to defend a Cowboy fan. I'll defend you, the Jet fan, even though Positive Tommy was fired from the Jets last year. Although that was by Evan, not by the Jet fan.
Just saying. They're not.
This was just a veiled attempt, I think that was the right word, to take a shot at.
It's
Jet
not taking
fan.
A shot. I
yes,
like the
is.
Jet fan. I do. I like
you
the Jet fan.
You basically said that they're on, you know, dating sites, and they took a break from that to go watch a bunch of guys in spandexes and girls, too, roll around and
I'm sorry.
Fake
do you,
fight.
Do you think the adults last night booing Russell Wilson are not on dating websites and basically waiting to draft Justin Fields on the fantasy team right now? Do you think that those are not those
well,
people?
Well, again, I don't know. What are you, Brad Pitt? Buddy, from where I'm sitting, you should be lucky that somebody decided to get married and have children with you. You're not exactly walking around here chiseled out of granite. You're not Tiki. So this idea that you, of all people, are going to insult someone's dating life or their looks or their ability to attract the opposite sex, when you sit there and you look like, you know, if my thumb or if my big toe had a mouth, it would look like you. I really don't understand, like, where you're coming from here, other than to take a shot at the Jets.
I have been ugly for the better part of my life.
Right.
I have.
You've been fatter longer than you've been bald.
I've always been meant to look 40, and I'm closing in, and it feels great.
Okay.
888.
Can I just say one quick thing? Because we're having a little fun here. I think last night, though, proved even further. This is just my take, because I know you're higher on it than, or more open to it than I am. Russell Wilson is here to be a celebrity. That's it. If he happens to win games, fine. I'm not saying he's not taking the right preparation or doesn't want to be the starting quarterback. But Russell Wilson is on the Giants in New York City to be seen at events, to grow his brand, and to be a celebrity and a star. That's it. That's why he is here. And maybe they catch a little bit of the lightning in a bottle, or they turn back the clock with him, and the Giants win some games, and he's the starting quarterback, you know, through the year, and they make the playoffs. That would be amazing. I'm certainly rooting for that. But it just feels like the guy cares more about being seen at these events than he does being the quarterback.
I think those two things go hand in hand. I think he's definitely looking for that, but I think he's looking to make plays. But he got booed. I hope you Jet and Cowboy fans that did that enjoyed yourselves at SummerSlam. Giant fans, I hope you enjoyed a good night's sleep not being there.
Nice
Alex
try.
In White Plains. Alex, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. What's going
on? Yeah, I'm thinking this team changed their DNA after the 2017 season. They got rid of Girardi after taking the baby bombers to the ALCS. You know, the organization even confirmed they were, if, even if they won the World Series, they were going to make a change. You know? So where are those baby bombers now since Boone's been up with the team?
Well,
just King Judge, excuse me.
Well, thank you, Alex. You will not be fined a dollar. Gary Sanchez didn't exactly materialize into much. Now, you want to say maybe his career would have been saved if he hung around Joe Girardi. That's fine. Gleyber Torres now is better since moving on. I think that's a good one to pinpoint. But it's also 1 year. You know, see Gleyber Torres' career beyond this. Mm-hmm. The Yankees did, though, make a World Series last year. As much as I have my issues and the flaws with that team and all of it, that did happen under Aaron Boone. Joe Girardi would likely hold a lot of these guys more accountable. Let's also remember this about Joe Girardi. The Phillies took off and made a World Series after he was fired in season by the Philadelphia Phillies. So, yeah, do I deny that the DNA was changed? But let's stop making Joe Girardi out to be something that he wasn't.
I come in peace when I make this statement, so it's not coming from a bad place. Do the Yankees make the World Series last year, though, without Juan Soto and Stanton getting hot?
No, of course not.
Okay, so...
But you can pinpoint that with players of every team that make the World Series.
Sure, But
you could say, if the Yankees make the World Series this year, you're going to say, well, could they make the playoffs if Bellinger wasn't awesome?
No. I understand that, but the mistakes that they made last year, whether it was base running or fielding or the little things, in all likelihood or in most years, are going to cost teams like that a chance to play in the World Series, and it should have, but they had, you know, Stanton go on this great heater, which he is accustomed to doing, and you had Juan Soto on the team, and maybe the competition wasn't, you know, it wasn't stiff competition. I'm sorry, it just wasn't. The Royals, and they, doesn't matter, you don't have to apologize for it. The point is that they had a little bit of an easy road, and they kind of caught that lightning in a bottle. That's not going to happen this year. There's no way, if they continue to make these mistakes, they're going to go to the World Series.
No,
it's
teams
impossible.
Will take advantage. Now, right. The good news for the Yankees is by playing this way, if they get in and if they make a run to a World Series, they will have done so versus tougher competition and would mean they gotten extremely hot, which would make you more of a believer in them to win a World Series.
Well,
how about that
for
a plot twist?
It means that they, well, that's fair, but they have to fix these problems because when you get to October and you play the good teams, they're going to take advantage of, and the Yankees are going to just end up, you know, shooting themselves in the foot over and over again.
I think we all see that coming, though. I do. I think if we all...
It's just a matter of when.
When and how it ends. But, well, we know how it ends. It's a matter of when it ends. David in Monroe Township. David, what's up?
Hey, guys. Interesting show. Thanks for having me on.
I hope that interesting is in a good way, David, but thank you.
Yes, diverse and interesting. My problem with the offense is twofold. Number one, you can't win games in pennants by just hitting a home run every four innings. Everybody's up there not to get a single and get on in front of other people the way the lesser teams do, but just to hit the ball out of the park.
David,
and number two,
David, just to stop
more
you.
More important than that.
No, but David, I think you're wrong on that. That's been the past Yankee teams. That has not been this. Now, they hit a lot of home runs, but with Bellinger, Dominguez, this has been a team where I've actually seen more gap hitting and base-to-base stuff. The problem is when they get on the bases, they don't know how to run them.
Well, I think that's a resolvable problem. But I want to get to the second issue that I have,
Okay. Which
is this. You got to have the bat close to the hitting zone in order to be effective. Everybody on the Yankees takes these huge looping swings that take forever to get to the, you have 0.3 of a second to make contact.
Mm-hmm.
If you held the ball, as Judge does, perpendicular to the ground, as Ohtani does, perpendicular to the ground, you'd be in that hitting zone much faster. You get much better results.
Yeah, I understand, David. That's for the hitting coach to figure out. There are times Jazz and Austin Wells have those very wide swings, sometimes Stanton swinging out of his shoes. That's a Major League Baseball approach, though. I don't think the Yankees are the only... Yankees have a lot of issues.
Well, he brought up King Judge and Ohtani. If everybody was them, you know what I mean? There's
right.
a reason why they're great.
Of course.
So it's impossible for people, the mere mortals, to... You know, replicate what those guys are doing. You're right. It's baseball. They're looking for launch angle. They're looking for homers. That's the way it is.
I think
everybody's average is horrible.
I think
for the most part.
Where I was pushing back on that too is maybe that's also what's frustrating me about these Yankees more than anything is that I have died forever for them not to be home run or nothing. And again, the game of baseball now, everybody hits a ton of home runs, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like the lineup is less home run or nothing than it's ever been.
Really?
I do, because I think I look at guys, even at the beginning of the year with Goldschmidt's average when he was hitting high, and the way Bellinger has played, I mentioned, of course, the way Dominguez has played. He hasn't been a home run guy. These are all guys where their clutch hits have come through, and they have not been necessarily home runs. Now, Bellinger's his share, but it's been more than home run or bust. And even Judge. Think about Aaron Judge.
Yeah, he was hitting over 400 for a while.
Well, yeah, exactly. That wasn't all home runs. The Yankees of the past have been more home run or nothing. These Yankees necessarily haven't been, but their fundamentals, they've run themselves out of a ton of innings. What happened the last week with Austin Wells or Jazz Chisholm has been nothing new. Now, maybe forgetting how many outs there are is something new, but they are constantly not understanding how to run the bases, not stealing when they're supposed to, then stealing third when they shouldn't, and having somebody, you know, not take advantage. I actually think the Yankees small ball, they haven't figured out how to play it, but it hasn't been because they're not getting hits and getting on base.
Yeah, I still see them as an all-or-nothing team. I still see them when they're at their best, they're hitting home runs, they bully teams. I think they're a bully team. I think they're the type of club that when they face, you know, mediocre pitching, or they get to the mediocre middle of a bullpen, they sort of pile it on. Look what they did that first weekend, and the Brewers have taken off essentially ever since. Mm-hmm. But they caught Milwaukee at a perfect time.
Even what they were doing Friday night before the bullpen implosion.
And I think that's what I look at. And I see a team that's a little bit more all or nothing, and they kind of push people around. But when it gets to those tight games and they need to do the little things, they don't do it. And Goldschmidt now is not starting to hit. Bellinger, I think, is hitting a little bit over his weight as far as average. I expect his average to go down. I think he's great, but I'm saying that I don't, like, what's his career average? I don't think it's right in the 270s. I'll look it up, but he's normally a little bit of a lower average hitter than he's been, so I would expect him to go south a little bit.
I think he's played to Yankee Stadium, too. I think
that's number one priority is, you want to say Tucker or whatever, because I don't think he's signed any kind of extension with the Cubs.
He has not.
I would say that Bellinger, all right, 260 career, so he's 276 now, so I expect him to go down a little bit to more of his career average, but he has every look and feel of a Yankee. You know what I mean?
Like, definitely.
Bellinger was a great acquisition.
He is a 90s Yankee, which is fitting because his dad was literally a 90s Yankee. Dave in Trumbull, Connecticut. Dave, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's going on, Dave?
Hey, I agree with you 100%. If I hear one more time about George Steinbrenner or that the Yankees just hit the home run, no. They are a young team. Look at our catcher. 2 years, first baseman, rookie, shortstop, 3 years. It takes time to play in the major leagues. We got a rookie in left field. And then who do we have for leadership? We got Goldschmidt and
Stanton's a leader. Goldschmidt's a leader. King Judge is a leader.
But are they? And I love Jeter and love those old Yankees. I've been doing it. But they don't step up, and I'm not sure, you know, to step up, and everybody wants to yell and scream.
Dave, what do you want? What do you want these guys to do? Do you want Jazz Chisholm to be put in a headlock and given a noogie in the dugout by a teammate? What did you want?
No, I don't want any of that. But it's more or less the fans. We need to give this team time.
Give this team
time.
We're taking away Aaron Judge's prime here.
Mm-hmm.
We already lost Gerrit Cole to Tommy John because he's pitched that many years with the Yankees. A baseball team is made out of young guys that come up and join veterans or other younger guys that are not rookies. The Yankees are not some kind of exception where they're the little engine that could, full of all these young guys. Oh, it's only the shortstop's third year. Only his third year.
And he's gone backwards, too.
I mean, what are we talking about? Yes, it's Jason Dominguez. If that's the one guy you say, hey, we got to give him time, it's his rookie year. All right. That doesn't mean you have to lower the expectations. They made the World Series last year and spent money on Max Fried, Bellinger, brought in a veteran like Paul Goldschmidt. We got to give them time? It's August, and they're good enough. They are good enough to be in a playoff position. They were good enough to be 7 games in front in the division at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Give them time. Like, they're this spunky AL Central team that's coming out of nowhere. That's ridiculous.
I think what the caller was alluding to, or at least I thought he was, and then he kind of went in a different direction, is that the Yankees don't police themselves. And I brought this up a lot on the show. I don't know if the guys in the locker room, your veterans, your captain, is saying anything, because if they are, all right, let's say that they are, then it's falling on deaf ears because they're making the same mistakes over and over again. And when you have Jazz Chisholm say what he said on Saturday after that just mind-boggling base-running decision, I understand the King's not there, but nobody pulls this guy to the side and say, dude, that was a horrible answer. It's a bad look. we already have this stigma of, you know, it's loose here, it's a country club, there's no accountability, and then you're going to tell everybody that you would do it all over again? Like, who's buying that?
The worst
thing. Why is nobody stepping up? Because if somebody was, Sean, things would change, right? There's been no change from this team after they were humiliated. The Dodgers not only beat you up,
I think it comes from the manager.
Embarrassed you.
What is the manager's job? It's not the player's job to do this.
It is on the manager, but it's also, all right, so like...
How about the manager teaches a player how to be a leader?
No, but I understand that, but like, okay, so we have upper management here. It's their job to get on us, but it's also our job as a show, too. Like, Evan can get on me, give me the business for something, or Tiki could say something to you, or vice versa.
I guess
you could police yourselves a little bit, too.
I guess my problem is they might be doing that. We don't know that because we don't get... We don't get the King Judge press conference where it's about that. The manager is answering for that. We don't know what's going on in the locker room with the players.
Well, nothing is changing. So if there is stuff being said and guys are getting pulled over and saying, yo, don't do this.
Nothing's changing because ultimately the manager still makes the decision who plays or doesn't. I'm telling you right now, the absolute worst thing to happen to the New York Yankees yesterday was Jazz Chisholm Jr. hitting a home run.
Right, because it justified.
You lost the game anyway. It made the Yankees, Aaron Boone in the front office, go back and go, see, this is why you can't sit a guy after a mistake. Look, he hit a big home run. You know, if we make another pitch, maybe we're in the game. That kind of stuff, you're biting your nose to spite your face. Same thing with Anthony Volpe. Every time Anthony Volpe makes an error, he comes and hits a home run the last couple weeks. That's bad. You might think it's good in real time. That's bad stuff that happened to the Yankees. They look at it as, oh, now they'll feel good about themselves. But all it does is signal what we're doing is right. Don't hold anybody accountable because they're going to come through with their bat. And that is what further sinks and further leads to problems for this Yankee team. It's on the manager to make a decision to take a guy and say, you're not playing today. We've basically seen it once in the Boone tenure, and it happened in Toronto last year when he finally sat down Gleyber Torres when him and Marcus Stroman almost came to blows over a ground ball. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Gleyber sat down, and what happened after that? Gleyber ended up becoming one of the better Yankees for the last 2 months of the year. They moved him into the leadoff hole. It worked.
Same thing with moving Holmes out of the closer role. Yeah. It worked, but it took him forever to do it.
It took him forever to do it. It worked. It worked for Gleyber Torres last year, and they're not doing it now.
So why do they coddle?
You know what? I bet you they were willing to do it for Gleyber Torres. This is my brain firing in real time, which can be scary.
Because they knew he'd be leaving?
Yes! Yeah. Who cares if he gets pissed off? He's gone anyway at the end of the year.
Or likelihood he's going to be gone. We're ready to move on.
Yeah.
Well, that leads me into my question is, why so much coddling for the golden boy, Anthony Volpe? Why, unlike any other player probably in this era of baseball, scared of what?
Mental fragility? I don't know.
Oh, stop it. Then he doesn't have the goods. You're playing shortstop for the Yankees
here. It's clearly a mental
thing
for him right now with the errors.
Then what I would say is if you don't want to bench him or publicly embarrass him, meaning yelling at him or saying something about him after the game, send him down. The Mets did it with Alvarez.
Yeah,
Francisco Alvarez was not the number one prospect for the Mets. The number one prospect in baseball.
Tommy, I'm with you.
And they sent him down. And the Mets sent him down. The Yankees handle Anthony Volpe like... Like he's, his last name's Steinbrenner. I really don't understand.
But that's the problem. It starts then. You can't bench Jazz Chisholm if you haven't benched Anthony Volpe. That's
right, exactly. Especially because Volpe is lower on the totem pole in terms of, you know, years as service and a younger player. And if you have it, not that Jazz is a vet at this point, but he's more of a vet than Volpe. He's going to look at the situation and go, oh, so you allow Volpe to, it's like, again, I'm not a parent, but when you treat one kid differently than the others, and I know kids respond differently, but when you allow Anthony Volpe to, I don't know if get away with it is the right way of phrasing it, but when you don't hold him accountable for any of the mistakes he's made and you don't send him down, then you send the absolute worst message you can to that locker room.
888-808-1019. Continue to take your calls on the Yankee leadership. The word of the season now has become Yankee accountability. We'll take a peek at the Met lineup tonight. Sneaky big Met series to kind of stop the bleeding as well. It's Sean and Tommy here on the Evan and Tiki Show. Paulie and Scones with us as well. Evan and Tiki on the Fan. Met lineup tonight as they get ready for the Cleveland Guardians. Nimmo in left, Lindor at short, Soto in right, Alonso DHing, McNeil at second, Vientos at first, Mullins in center field, Mauricio at third, Alvarez catching with Sean Manaea on the bump. Good little lineup for you tonight, Tommy. You approve? Is it Tommy Lugauer approved?
Yeah, no, I have no issue with the lineup. And as far as what went down this weekend, it's a no biggie. And I think you look at where the Mets are at right now, and you want to say their biggest bugaboo is hitting with runners in scoring position. I am not worried, by the way, not worried about Senger or the rotation at all. We've talked about maybe going to a six-man rotation, calling somebody up, making Holmes or keeping him as a starter. the runners in scoring position stuff will fix itself. The big hits are coming. I will die on that hill. They are too good of a team. This is a first-place team, or certainly have been in first place throughout the season, and they have a batting average and runners in scoring position that is of the likes of the White Sox and the Rockies, teams that have sold, that are horrible, that are basement dwellers. That's not who the Mets are. They are way better than that, and they will show that down the stretch, especially guys like Soto. Lindor's already turning it around, and the Mets go as Lindor goes. You had Pete at a big weekend as he chases Darryl Strawberry here. I hope he breaks the record at home in front of the fans. That would be awesome. I fully expect the big hits to come.
So I'm with you on one hand. No biggie ultimately, because if we're being real, the Mets and Phillies, this is going to come down to the last weekend of the season. I really don't think it's going to be settled before then. This feels like it's going to be neck and neck the whole way. Every time you think the Mets are going to get hot, right, the Phillies are right beyond them. The Mets cool down, Phillies catch up a little. This feels like one of those classic divisional races at this point. I think we've settled on that. I think at some point you are who you are, and I think the Phillies and Mets are going to be two teams that are going to mirror each other for the rest of the year. The one thing I will disagree with you on is, look, while it is a no biggie, the Giants just come off selling. That could have easily been a team that was, you know, kind of out of it this weekend, and they scored a bunch of runs. I think that the Mets starting pitching, if I was true to this as a Met fan, that would worry me. Ultimately, in a postseason, too, you talk about a six-man rotation again to get through the regular season. That's fine. I'm not necessarily worried about Kodai Senga. I'm worried about Kodai Senga ever giving you a seven-inning gem in the postseason, for sure. I trust Peterson. Manaea, this is a big start tonight to kind of stop the bleeding as well. But let's be real. While we are in New York and we watch these five-man rotation, sometimes six-man rotation go at it, Peterson and Senga, great season. Senga gets hurt. There is not a singular pitcher in that Met rotation that come time for a postseason series, an opponent is going to go, well, we're screwed tonight. And I think ultimately that is what's going to do the Mets in. I think it did the Mets in last year when the magic carpet ride came out. I think the Dodgers took advantage. The rotation at times turned into a pumpkin versus the Dodgers. And I think you're looking at that again. And yeah, I think the Met bullpen is awesome. I think the way they approach their depth is awesome. I'm with you, though, that at some point you think the runners in scoring position numbers keep rising up.
Yes.
Although maybe you are who you are, it's still like come back to that rotation. I think that'll be the Mets' downfall if and when their season comes.
But are who they are with the runners in scoring position, like their average is near teams that don't have any players or any talent. The Mets have talent. They just, for whatever reason.
But it's August.
Okay. So they still have another 2 months to turn that around, and then obviously in October. And it could turn around quickly. All of a sudden, those hits can come in bunches.
But how? Now, okay.
Mark Vientos is on an 11-game hitting streak.
Tommy,
I just expect them to get the big hits.
We argued about the Yankees the first hour and a half. You are who you are, but that doesn't apply to the Mets?
No, because I think when it comes to things like running the bases and bad defense and bad culture and bad fundamentals, that's different than hitting with runners in scoring position. This team hit with runners in scoring position last year. Guys that are still on the team.
New year, different team.
Hold on. Juan Soto, who has a championship, has been to a World Series, has gotten big hit after big hit after big hit. If you want to be in the boat of Juan Soto's not going to get big hits anymore, then good luck in that boat, because you are going to be made to look. I know I said earlier you can't be an idiot for sports takes. That's going to be a bad one. That's a bad one, because you know the guy at some point.
It'll be a team thing, though, not a Soto thing. Soto could heat up, but
I understand that, but more often than not, when you're hitting where Soto's hitting, you're going to come. How many times has Juan Soto come up in the big spots this year? If he gets going and when he gets going, they will get the big hits. Where I'd push back on you with the rotation, I think Senga at his best is the type of pitcher that an opposing team would say, boy, we're in trouble tonight. I know they may not have a Scooble or a guy right at the top, but Peterson has been as good as anybody in baseball over the last year. Manaea, we know that. So when you look at Peterson, Senga, Manaea, and then I see what they have in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning, which I think is elite with Rodgers, Helsley, and Diaz, you can shorten these games. And you get to October, and you have three really strong starting pitchers. And I still think Holmes, on the right proper rest, can give you those five innings and be a good starting pitcher. And you shorten the games with your bullpen, and you get the runners in scoring position average to go up. It's all good. This is a first-place team that hasn't clicked on all cylinders yet, and I fully expect them to do that.
Mets, Guardians the next couple days. Phillies will play the Orioles the next couple days. So, and Baltimore's been a pain in the butt to some of these teams recently, so that's not necessarily gimme Philly wins. But you would think coming out of this week, going into this weekend where the Phillies will play the Rangers, better be status quo. Better be no more than a half game up, half game back, and just try to keep this thing neck and neck.
Yeah, and Cleveland's been playing, you know, great baseball. They've been playing better. I mean, Detroit obviously still has a stranglehold on the division. Jose Ramirez, my guy, Hall of Famer, the most underrated player, certainly in his era of baseball, and he's been red hot. And, you know, with Kwan, and they have some players. No team is easy. And I say this all the time, like, bad teams beat good teams. But coming off a series where you lose 2 out of 3, it's definitely a get-right spot. There's no doubt about it.
And when looking at the Mets' upcoming weekend, sneaky big series with Milwaukee approaching after this, too.
Yeah, and Milwaukee has been the best team in the sport, really.
Miz ends up on the IL now.
He's on the IL, yeah. They're big, obviously a rookie, but he's a young pitcher that has pitched just tremendous. But they got a lot of things they could throw at you, and they run the base as well, and they make contact. Milwaukee's a pain in the neck. Even though the Mets beat them last year and knocked them out, I still have respect for them, for sure.
Interesting week ahead for both New York baseball teams. Back to your calls. Fernando at Union City. Fernando, what's up?
Gentlemen, great show as always.
Thanks, Fernando.
Just to a reference to Tommy said, listen, I'm also a lifelong pro wrestling fan. The death of Hulk Hogan really hit me hard, like a lot of people during their childhood.
I'm sorry.
So I still watch pro wrestling avidly. I don't really like going to MetLife Stadium. I don't think it's very conducive for fans to get in and out comfortably. I went there for WrestleMania, been there before this past weekend. You know, earlier start times, that's great. But getting in and out of MetLife for anything, any event, concerts, pro wrestling.
It's a nightmare. It could be a nightmare,
I mean,
for sure.
And again, listen, I mean, the Mara family and Woody Johnson should be grateful that WWE is in town. You're not going to see too many sellouts in that building with these things this season coming up.
I think, Fernando, I mean, it's a good cheap plug, but they will sell out plenty for the NFL season. I mean, they always do. They always do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if things get ugly,
people may not show up with those purchase tickets, but they'll be sold out.
Yeah, I think that both football teams, there is... if Dart is starting by the end of the year and things went sideways, I don't think the fans are going to come to the park or to the stadium with a lot of vitriol because they're seeing a young rookie quarterback. So there's the reason for hope. And with the Jets, they're in a rebuilding year. Like, the Jets are so boring right now, but in a good way. Like, you're coming off the biggest failure in the history of New York sports, and now you have an opportunity to lay in the shadows. You get an opportunity to not be on the back pages or be on the tip of everybody's tongue, but that's a good thing. I think the Jets need that. They need a reset.
It's odd to get to August 4th. I believe this week the Bills Hard Knocks will start, too. Like, we are fully engulfed here, and we've had a Hall of Fame game play.
Well, speaking of, I didn't see... it's so funny. I was talking about this the other day. I was like... they played a football game the other night. I have not seen a highlight, a play. I forgot it even happened.
Well, me and you were in the car when it started because it took us forever getting home from
Correct.
Giants game.
Like, I have no idea. Not that I don't care what happened, but I have no idea what happened. Now,
First time even for me, by the way, I didn't see a snap of the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah. Some years I'm into it more than others, and it doesn't even mean it need a local in there. Sometimes I'm just more, you know, have an itch for the football, even though it's not football. Preseason to me is more about health. It's always going to be that. Yeah. When my team's out there, I just want to make sure everybody gets through it and gets to September. That's all I really care about.
I can't believe, though, on August 4th, and I know because I was going through this all on the ride in today, you know, with topics for the story and everything. There's not anything interesting coming out of the New York Jets to talk about right now. Nope. I think that's the talk topic, is that there's nothing to talk about. Justin Fields, okay, you dodged something with that injury. I have heard, by the way, Justin Fields does not look great throwing a football camp. I know there was like one thing that, you know, looked a decent pass today.
Well, Justin Fields has never looked good throwing
football. But I think you had this hope this year that maybe Justin Fields figures it out. The early returns from people there are that
August
does not look like a very good quarterback, which is fine. That's the only thing I've gotten out of this Jets camp this year.
Well, Quinnen got hurt the other day. It sounds like everything is going to be all right here. There was obviously speculation for the worst.
But there's nothing interesting happening. But to your point, that might be a good thing, because too much interesting was happening with the Jets the last couple of years, and it was a disaster.
I'll be interested to see how Aaron Glenn is with the media if the team starts to win. Do we get a Rex Ryan type of bravado and cockiness and arrogance? That'll make them interesting. Because he does have a big personality, and he obviously rules with an iron fist. That's the only thing to me that can make them interesting. And I know
I don't think you get cocky and arrogant. I think you get confident, but I don't think it'll ever get to the Rex Ryan point.
And I get it. Look, if you're a Jet fan right now, you don't care if they're interesting. You just want to see wins, and you'd like to see them make the playoffs at some time point before we're all off this earth, which is debatable at the, you know, until they really get everything together. But as far as looking at them from the scope of sports talk radio and the media, there's just nothing interesting or exciting about them.
It's so weird because that was pretty much the Giants the last 2 years with the Daniel Jones stuff. I guess 2 years ago they were coming off a playoff year. There was some positivity. But remember, last year in camp was just about, all right, we got to get through the season and get to the end of Daniel Jones. Mm-hmm. There wasn't anything in training camp. It just felt, all right, maybe Malik Nabers gives you something, and he did. But it wasn't exciting. The Jets the last 2 years with all the Rodgers stuff was filled with the pomp and circumstance. And now here we are. And it's every day is another report and highlight out of Giant Camp, and the Jets feel like now they're the team that doesn't exist in town. Can we get these two teams both interesting at the same time at some point this century, please?
But like I said, I think that it's best for the Jets to be in this position right now, coming off of what they came off of, and the new head coach who wants this to be more in-house and I think is more focused on football and winning football games. And then as far as the Giants, I'm very optimistic, and I haven't been in the past with them, and it has a lot to do with their rookie class, with Scadaboo, with Dart, with Carter, not necessarily in that order, but those three guys for sure, and then Nabers and Phillips, and then we know Dexter, who's already Giant royalty, and Thomas and all that, and this defense, which should be elite, in my opinion. There's no excuses. There's just more meat on the bone with the Giants, and also with Dable and Shane and their job security. And look, you could say what you want about Russell Wilson. He's still Russell Wilson. We were there last week, and as much as I feel a certain way about Russell Wilson, whether I want him here or to be the quarterback, it was still kind of cool seeing Russell Wilson wearing a Giant uniform.
It was. And for anybody that hasn't been at a camp practice, I think that'll hit you when you finally see him play a game. And you, if you're a football fan and a fan of football history, go, oh my God, Russell Wilson is wearing a Giant uniform. I know that sounds crazy, but we both had that same feeling without talking to each other.
Yeah, and up close and personal, because we were at practice and we were there on the sideline.
Which, by the way, I can understand the Jet excitement the last 2 years of Rodgers where we kind of poo-pooed it.
Oh, 100%. We were there on the sideline with all the beat reporters, et cetera, the fans. To see the four Giant quarterbacks up close, it really is a sitcom. It is. Yeah. You got Jameis Winston walking around bare. I didn't realize this about him. He's one of those guys like Matt Collins.
The grounding guys.
He's a ground guy or whatever, so he doesn't wear, you know, socks or shoes. So he's running around barefoot. Like at one point he was walking around barefoot with no one around him, like after practice. You have Jackson Dart, who has that, you know, teen idol sort of vibe going. My main man, Thomas Calogero DeVito, which his story is obviously very well known. And then you got Russell Wilson, who has a famous wife, borderline Hall of Fame quarterback, and all four of these guys are basically subbing in and out for each other. And I'm like, where are we right now? The Giants, who are normally not like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're more in their heyday or their winning years, they're more like the Jets where they're quiet. They always flew under the radar.
No, they're not.
Not so much with this team.
For good or bad, they will not be quiet this year. Karen on the Jersey Shore. Karen, what's up?
Hello, boys. Tommy, hi.
Hello.
And Sean, hello.
What's up?
Okay. Yes. I have to say, I love what they did with the bullpen. And I love the guy, what's his name, who throws the sidearm. That is like the
Tyler
coolest
Rogers.
Thing ever.
Tyler Rogers.
Oh, God, I love
him. The second best reliever the Giants traded at the deadline, yes.
Yeah, I absolutely love him. But I have to tell you, with Soto, he's been really pissing me off. Big time. Every time he's up, and I'm not saying, like, not many of them are hit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, Saturday shocked the hell out of me because they just were like on a rampage, but it's like Soto comes up and it's almost like he always like hits into like a double play, or he's just
but Karen, Juan Soto has already proven in his career to be one of the great hitters in the sport, not only just in the regular spot, but most importantly in the big spots. You think that he won't get big hits? Like, it happens.
Some people have
stretches where they don't hit with runners in scoring position, or they're trying to acclimate themselves to a new team. I know it's not a new city because obviously he played here last year. My point is if you think the biggest issue on the Mets is Juan Soto hitting with runners in scoring position, they don't have an issue then.
No.
Because he's going to get the big hits. And I would bet, I'm not a guy that's going to bet a lot of money on something, but I would bet when the moments get the biggest this season, you'll see Juan Soto be Juan Soto. I'm not suggesting that he is not, you know, putting forth the right. It's just one of those things. It's just one of those things where he hasn't hit with guys in running scoring position.
When he was clutch, he was Juan Soto. Now he's Juan So-So, as you know. So things have changed post-contract.
Yeah, I think early on in the year, he was obviously trying to either live up to the contract. I know what you did there.
I'm you just wouldn't gonna, take the bait.
I'm not gonna take the bait on it because I think it's a serious topic that should be talked seriously. And I early on, well, no, because all right. So let's get then. Let's go there. You're gonna take a shot. I'll roll up the sleeves.
All right.
The amount of stuff that has been said about Juan Soto, not only by the law firm of McPherson, McMonagle, and Marash, but Yankee fans who are going through the seven stages of Soto grief that want to move the goalpost. First, he was unhappy. Then the second thing was the only reason he signed with the Mets is because Juan's mother wants to go to Bloomingdale's with Alex Cohen, Steve Cohen's wife, and shop.
He signed with the Mets because it was the most money.
All right, then if that's the case,
I do think he was unhappy early in the year, but like anything, you get used to it.
Okay, that's false that he was somehow unhappy.
I think Soto's going to be great as a Met, but...
But my point is the new thing now is that, then it was he wasn't an all-star. Now the new thing is he's not hitting. Okay, well, he was, but he wasn't. Even though he wasn't in the game, he was
literally wasn't.
Well, he is an all-star. He just happened to not be there. If you watch the game in Atlanta, did you see Juan Soto? No. But is he an all-star? The answer is yes.
He ain't an all-star like Carlos Rodon is.
Is Juan Soto going to hit with runners in scoring position in his career as a Met?
Yes, of course.
But in a way that is well above probably the majority of baseball, too, by the way, because that's what he's been his whole career, and he's too good to not.
I agree with you. However, and I think he will have a clutch hit or two along the way here in the postseason. He's too good a player. There's got to be a sense of pressure. Like, all this can't be coincidence. Every time he gets up there signing that kind of big deal where he kind of was just free to playing baseball, where maybe he feels added pressure with runners in scoring position now that he's not no longer chasing the money. He's got the money and he better perform or he's going to hear it. You don't know. Baseball's a mental game. And I'm sure ultimately over 15 years, Soto's going to be fine. But this could be that first year of just, this is the new team. I have to do this. I have to do that. And it's worn on him. That could be simply the case, and you don't get the October you imagine out of Soto, but that doesn't mean you won't get 14 better ones than you imagine.
And look, I'm not up here making excuses. There have been a couple of moments where he was up in a big spot. I remember back on David Wright Day, he just missed a home run, and sometimes that happens. And if you have... Now I sound like Aaron Boone, but the point is...
I just thin in my life. What do you want from me?
Just missed. I mean, you missed by a wide range there. You didn't just miss, all right? And now I feel like I'm fat-shaming you. But let's be real here. You know, you got me. I'm a lean cuisine. You know, I could fluctuate just a little bit, but I kind of hover around that 160 mark. You haven't seen 160, I don't know, what, since you were four?
Well, now you're just getting hurtful.
Well, I mean, I'm just speculating there.
Probably five?
I'm just, this idea that you could have
been... Other kids got Happy Meals, I supersized.
Well, the thing about Sean is he loses weight, but he always finds it. That's an old joke. That's my version of a dad joke. That's one of those jokes that they say...
Then let the joke sit. You don't have to acknowledge
it. What I don't love about Sean here, and you play this game, and some people fall for it, I don't, but some people do, is that you like to take your shots. You basically insulted an entire fan base earlier in the Jet fan. You called them all losers that can't get a date
and
don't have wives. Yes, you did.
I said some of them.
You said most of them, and they were at a game booing, or they were at the wrestling event, that wrestling event, booing Russell Wilson. When I take shots back at you, you put the boo-boo face on. You do the, who's me? The woe is me? You know, what me? What did I do? You know what I mean? You put your hands up, and basically you want the violin to play, and it's poor Sean. You're in the hot seat, my friend. You're in the big chair. If you can't take it, then I don't know what to tell you.
I could take it. Sounds like you can't. Chris Bayshore. Chris, what's up?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up, Chris?
Listen, if you'll allow me, I got a couple of things. I got a comment, a slight criticism, and a compliment. How about that?
I like it. I like the fact that you're looking to end with the compliment. It's always a good move, Chris. Give it to us.
All right, the compliment first?
No, end with the compliment, please.
Yeah, save that like dessert. Okay. Yeah, it's like a ring ding. Okay. Yeah.
All right, how about the comment? The comment is I'm a lot older than you guys, and I think what's going on with the Yankees is just a microcosm of what's going on in everything. I mean, there's no accountability. Nobody's held to a standard. The Mets are actually doing it better than the Yanks.
They are.
And it's killing them. It's killing them. It's allowing them to really, I mean, the Chisholm thing. I mean, you look at all this stuff. And it doesn't bode well for the future. And I think that, as you said earlier, I think nothing's going to change about it. What was the next one? The compliment. Very funny. You guys are very funny. The big toe line is one I'm going to steal. It's one of the funniest things I've heard on the radio in a long time.
Thank you.
And the criticism is the wrestling thing. Come on. Enough with the wrestling.
Thank you, Chris. So you agree with me?
You're welcome.
Well, what do you mean by enough with the... Well, Chris, what we're commenting on is a big event that was held in the tri-state area where the Giants starting quarterback was booed. That's the only reason we brought it up.
I would, well, I... Yeah, that's true. Okay, be tied to Wilson, I guess. But it's like.
But to Chris's point, it's not sports, right? Like, I don't mind.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, hold on a second. Yeah. It's okay, not sports, but you were watching last night because you spoiled the Brock Lesnar thing for me. This is last week you spoiled for our entire audience the beginning or the plot twist, you want to call it, to Happy Gilmore 2.
Uh-huh.
And then last night, as I get home from my shift here, working on the fan hosting, I get home, I look down on my phone, and you spoiled that Brock Lesnar, and I'm sorry, I'm going to spoil it for everybody now. It's 24 hours, I don't care at this
point. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, Chris, I don't know, go take a nap. I don't know why you didn't hang up.
It was a good call from Chris. He was right.
It was a good call, but he kept him on the air. The guy was done. He tapped out, and he's sitting there, and I'm hearing.
I thought you were going to say something to him.
I'm not going to say to him.
So Brock Lesnar returned, and I texted because Evan was there in our group chat about it.
Yeah, but I wasn't there.
Okay.
Okay, right. Then text Evan on the side.
I was under the assumption wrestling. Actually, I think you're proving Chris's point in a weird way. In that Chris's point is enough with the wrestling when we talk about it because it's not sports the way the Yankees, the Mets, the Giants, and Jets are.
Okay.
And I think you not wanting to be quote unquote spoiled about Brock Lesnar coming out last night only further emphasizes if that was a football game and I texted that, would you be upset with me?
Yes.
No, you would not be because you would be somehow tracking it live.
Okay, let me go back to... All right,
wrestling is a sport, you're less worried about spoilers. You're proving it's a television show.
Yeah, that's fine. But the point is, I still don't want to be spoiled. If we're watching Game of Thrones or The Sopranos back in the day,
I didn't know you weren't watching live. What do you want from me? You're supposed to be a big wrestling fan.
But my point is that why do you assume that I'm watching it live?
Because you're a wrestling fan.
I understand that
doesn't do anything with their life but watch wrestling.
No, because I was clearly hosting on the air.
Now, I didn't realize. I forgot.
It's not your job to know that. You didn't even know you were hosting here, so you don't have to know about my life. I'm not expecting you to know that. My point is that you knew Evan was at the event. You didn't know if I was watching. You sidebar him. Then, or last week, you spoil the Happy Gilmore 2 stuff, and you had no excuse for that. You thought Evan spoiled it the day before, so you were just re-spoiling it. You tend to have an issue, which has done well for you in your career here, but like there has to be a point where something comes from that brain, that little brain of yours, and goes to the bigger part of your body, which is your stomach, but also your mouth. And there needs to be a little bit of a checkpoint where you take a split second and go, maybe I shouldn't say this because perhaps the person in this chat who's a big wrestling fan is not actually watching this live. Or perhaps somebody in the audience hasn't seen Happy Gilmore 2 yet. Still haven't seen it yet. But if you spoiled it now, if you said on the radio now what would happen, yeah, because it's now been over a week.
All right,
so you said somebody died, correct?
You could spoil it more.
Off the air, you kind of told me who did. And I didn't hold you to it because I don't even know if I plan on watching it. But then later on, off the air, so on the air, Sean spoiled that part. And then off the air, he spoiled to me who actually passed away.
Well, I'm glad that we...
You're not pinning it on me. You said this, so now people are going to get mad at me. I'm only repeating what you said last week. So now I may have stepped in it, but you said this last week. The movie's been out for 2 weeks now.
There's also no difference between Happy Gilmore 2 and a wrestling event. It's the same thing. It's a movie.
Yeah, but
it's
you still don't want to be spoiled.
But it's the same concept, though. So if someone says they don't want to talk about wrestling on a sports radio station,
they don't
bring up movies.
Well, but it's a sports
The reason
movie.
SummerSlam is talked about, it happened at MetLife Stadium, one of our big sporting venues. A million people went there. Not literally a million.
The audience was there.
113,000. 113,000 over 2 days.
And that is, by the way, the only reason I tuned in late last night to see the John Cena match was to feel like I had a vibe this week when Evan and Tommy did their nerd off when it comes to the wrestling. 888-808-1019. We come back. Speaking of things that might be spoiled, if you haven't seen an Eli Manning show commercial, boy, what a WFAN throwback that was. Some thoughts on the bomb that dropped out of the Giants world today. And your Juan Soto flaw calls as well. 888-808-1019. It's Evan and Tiki, Sean and Tommy here on The Fan.